things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions, and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself. I am indeed grateful and thankful to the great God of heaven, to whom I give glory, honor, and praise. We thank him for all the blessings of life, now and forevermore. We thank him for sending his son to die, that he might reconcile us back to him. In one body, where we are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
All right.
We have been joined together as a holy temple in the Lord. All right. To Brother John Branch and the great church here at Southwest, we said thank you for this invitation to speak on this 40th Alabama State Lectureship. To the Lectureship Committee, I'm very grateful and thankful to be part of this event. The forgotten commandment. The forgotten commandment has been my assigned topic. I believe, as a gospel preacher, as a child of God, we all will agree this morning that we have raw apples in the church. And reason being, we are neglecting a very important work of the church. And that is the work of discipline. Yes, discipline is a work of the church, just like evangelism, just like benevolence, just like edification. This is a work of the church that is being neglected today. Do you not know that Jesus talked about discipline more than he talked about baptism? When I think about the forgotten commandment, I believe that we are all in agreement that fellowship among brethren is wonderful. But sometimes we are called upon to withhold our fellowship from a brother or sister in Christ Jesus. There may come a time when we may have to view a fellow disciple as a heathen or a tax collector. There may come a time when we may have to avoid them. There may come a time when we may have to put away from yourselves that wicked person. There may come a time when you have to withdraw ourselves and withdraw yourselves and not keep company with a fellow disciple. There may come a time when we may not be able to receive him or her into our homes, nor greet him or her in the marketplace. Jesus said through John the Apostle, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God." So if a brother or sister is not abiding in the doctrine of Christ this morning, we know that they do not have God. And John said, don't receive them into your home, nor bid them Godspeed.
All right, all right.
as Christians, we must come to understand who we must withhold ourselves from at times. All right. They are ones who commit a private trespass against another. Yes, sir. Those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to sound doctrine, which they have learned. Those who are guilty of fornication and adultery and covetousness. Those who are extortioners, idolaters, railers, and drunkards. Those who walk disorderly, not after the tradition which they have received. Sluggards and busybodies. Those who teach other than the word of God, who consent not to wholesome doctrine. The proud and ignorant. Those who doubt about questioning stripes of words. Those who produce envy, strife, railing, and evil submission. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. Those destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. These passages make it very clear, and they are just a few of the folk that we are to withhold our fellowship from. We just can't be fellowshipping with any and everybody. Let me tell you something. A sheep have no business running with a goat. And when sheep start running with goats, it's time to discipline that sheep. I don't know if we have forgotten this commandment or we are just not educated in doing this work of the church. And if we are not educated in doing this work of the church, we need to be re-educated and reprogrammed in the word of God, because it's too much stuff. All right. Let me just change that. It's too much sin being committed in the church family. Right. From the pulpit to the front door. And we are aware of it. Yeah. And no type of action is taken. We just look at it, we laugh, and we just pat folks on the back, and we just compromise with them and go on about our work, thinking that the church is growing and doing God's will. But it's not. We're going to have to get ourselves in check. Is that all right? We must understand, as Brother Glasgow said yesterday, that there are limitations on our fellowship. And we must respect them if we are going to be true to the teachings of Jesus and his apostles. All right. These limitations are related to the subject of church discipline. When we look in scripture, we have the command to withhold fellowship. This was commanded by Jesus Christ himself. You remember the case of a brother who has sinned and refused to repent? In Matthew chapter 18, yes, verses number 15, 16, and 17. What did Jesus say about this brother in his own words? Jesus said, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. This was spoken, and let me just make clarity on this. This was spoken in the context of a social relation at the time. Because the Jews had no social dealings with the Gentiles. And many of those Jews was working under a Gentile leadership, the Roman government. It's just like us in the church today of faith, working with folks not of faith. And when I say, I'm not talking about on a job. Look around some Sunday mornings and you don't see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Where do you think they are? Where do you think they are? They are flip-flopping between the Church of Christ and the denomination of the world. And they are telling us, well, you know, I have better friends in the world than I do in the church. You need to disfellowship that rascal. You need to withhold your fellowship from him, because if his friends in the world is better to him than the fellow citizens of the kingdom, he need to be out there with them. I'm going to tell you, that's hard love there. Is that all right? What was the point Jesus was trying to make? Jesus was making the point to withdraw social association from a brother who refused to repent. And you have a lot of folk in the church who know that they are raw apples. And they will not do anything to rectify or reconcile their life back to God. They need to be disfellowshipped. You need to withhold your fellowship from them. Don't even let them come in your house to eat. Is that all right? This was also commanded by his apostles. The apostle Paul gave charge to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and verses 18. What did this commandment involve? It involved those who caused division and offenses among the brethren. The brethren was to note and avoid them. Paul also gave the same charge to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, which was one of my text verses, 1 through 13. What did this involve? It involved a man who had his father's wife. That was an immoral brother. And if you got that kind of stuff going on in the church, you need to let him go. The reason that we don't work this work in the church, because the main folk in the church who is cutting up is the most influential folk. You know, folks that come to us, why don't you take that? Well, you know, them folk put more money in church than anybody else. You know, I can't get rid of them. You know, those folk can get more things done in the church than anybody else. So the preacher just allowed them to continue to live in sin, and no action is taken. We got to start taking action against brothers and sisters who are walking disorderly in the church. And then we wonder why the church is not growing. Them rascals is out there running on Friday and Saturday night, club hopping and partying and just having a good time. And then when some of their worldly friends walk through the door on Sunday morning and see them, they turn right back around and walk out the door. Your life is no better than mine. You know, I know how you living. And then we always talking about we need to grow our evangelistic effort in the church because we're not doing what God. If you were to do this work, the work of evangelism would come very easy. Is that all right? Never will forget a friend of mine, Brother Nate McCall, down in Otagoville. His son had graduated high school, and he was talking to me about trying to get him up at Troy University, what he needed to do to get him there. And he said, Brother Joe, as I was talking to him, he told me that he wasn't ready for school. He wanted to hang out with his friends. He wanted to just lay out with his friend for about a year before he went to school. So I asked him, I said, well, what did you tell him? He said, I told him, you're ready to die now. You getting ready to die. When you start hanging out in that social world with your friends and running here and there with them, you're getting ready to die. Sheep just can't run with goats. Is that all right? And it's time for the church to take action as Jesus has commanded. And you know, it's something when Jesus will spend more time on the ministry of discipline than he did on the ministry of baptism. Paul charged the church at Corinth. Man having his father's wife. What was the church to do? The church was instructed by Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, to deliver such a one to Satan. In verse number 5, he said, you got to purge out the old leaven. Verse number 7, he said, now you can't keep company with the fornicator. Verse number 11, not even to eat with such a person. Verse number 11, and he said, put away from yourself. Get rid of that person. That wicked person. Verse number 13. Paul also gave a charge to the church at Thessalonica, which is my theme text. What did this charge involve? Those who would not work and support themselves. I know you got folk in your congregation. Every time you look around, here they come begging the church for money. Well, strength, able-bodied young men and women. Amen. You reckon the church will let me have $30 today? You reckon the church will let me hold $40? A well, physically able young man. That joker is lazy. Get rid of him. He's trying to live on the church. You have a lot of folk in the church living on the church. Is that all right? Paul said he don't work. And don't you let him in your house and give him no food. Is that all right? That's what the book says. What that says the scripture. Is that all right? He said, withdraw from every brother who walk disorderly, not according to the tradition which he had received from us. Verse 6. He said, note that person and do not keep company with him. You can't hang out with him. Somebody said, birds of a feather flock together unless you're doing the same thing he or she is doing. When you find devils hanging out with devils, them devils is into the same thing. Is that all right? Amen. You know, John gave a charge to the elect lady, didn't he? And her children in 2 John 9:9-11. What did this involve? It involved anyone who would seek their support and yet abide in the doctrine of Christ. Or yet not abide in the doctrine of Christ. And you know, most of the time when folk come to the church soliciting funds through the church, they're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Man, you got folk come to the church, get money, go to the casino. You got folk come to the church, get money, go to the pool hall. How do you know, Joe? Rumors, gossip. Mm-hmm. When I was in ministerial training, this is what my instructor told me. He said, Brother Davis, if you're going to be successful in your ministry, he said, don't listen to hearsay. Do not listen to gossip. As a man of God, you have to have the facts. You have to prove all things. You just can't be bringing people into your office talking about, well, brother so-and-so told me that you was doing this. That's hearsay. And you can lose credibility on hearsay. He said, now, if you really want to get the facts about what folk is doing, hire you a private investigator. Let me tell you something. When these folks come into you ministers talking about brothers and sisters so-and-so is doing this, don't you be in your vehicle riding all night trying to see if that's true. I ain't going nowhere looking for you. Because I already know what the book done said. All have sinned. I'm going to hire a private investigator. And I'm going to let that private investigator take pictures. And I'm going to let that private investigator bring me those. And let me just share this with you. I have gotten pictures through the mail on some of my brethren. Mm-hmm. Is that all right? I have gotten pictures in the mail on some of my brethren that people took and sent to me. Hire you a private investigator and let them follow that brother. Let them follow that sister. Let them take them pictures and bring it back to you so when you call them in the office, you got proof. And let the church foot the bill. Don't you pay for nothing out of your pocket, preacher. You let the church foot that bill. That's what Jesus said. Bring it. Bring that bill to the church. The church got proof now because the whole church got to be in this decision making to withhold fellowship. One man can't make that decision. Matter of fact, you can't separate certain sins and try to make a decision based on what the sin was to disfellowship folk. Whatever the sin is that's not bringing credibility to the church and bringing disrespect, you need to disfellowship them. Have we forgotten that commandment? You know, I think the last letter that I got on disfellowship came from Marvin. Brother Marvin, I don't get them too often. I believe we just done forgot all about what Jesus said about this thing. If I lose my soul, let me just share this with you. If I lose my soul, it will not be because of something that I did. It will be because of something
that I didn't do. And if I'm not doing this work right here, and I stand in the day of judgment, don't you know that I'm going to have to answer to my Lord and Savior for not obeying this commandment? Paul said it is a commandment by the authority of Jesus Christ to withdraw yourself from every brother that walk disorderly. Now, we're to put forth some effort. So like I read from Titus, that first admonition, that second admonition, then you bring it to, that's what Jesus said, first admonition, second admonition, then you bring it to the church. And if he will not hear the church, let him go as a heathen or a tax collector. I have about 5 minutes. I need to drop this as I go. It is clearly evident through scripture that withholding fellowship many times is necessary under certain conditions. What is the purpose for withholding fellowship? It is to save a soul in error. One who has refused to repent of sin is in a lost state. According to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31, we need to make him or her ashamed of their sins, praying that they may repent and turn to God again. Let's consider Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 5. The church is to deliver such a one to Satan. That is, the church is to remove all godly influence from that person, because that person is not godly. Is that all right? They doubting about stirring up strife and wrath among brothers and sisters. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5. This is done by withdrawing fellowship. The purpose is for the destruction of the flesh. It is fleshly desire of which pride plays a great part that encourages one to persist in sin. In other words, I got the big head and my chest is poked out. I wonder who he think he is telling me that I can't do this. Man, he just don't know. I ain't finna give up. I ain't finna give him up. I'm gonna keep on keeping on. Sometimes we get, I ain't had nothing like this in all my, and you think I'm finna let. That all right? A man would rather put his soul in jeopardy than to turn from sin. So Paul said, you need to bring shame, because shame can go a long ways to destroy these things of the flesh. Therefore, the command to publicly note and withdraw from such a person is found right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 and verses 13. What is the ultimate goal of this command? That his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is our concern? Our concern is not his or even our own temporary happiness. I remember what Moses said. Moses said, I would rather suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. It's not about his happiness. It's not about my happiness. It's all about the saving of his soul. You got to put folks to shame. Well, I don't want to embarrass nobody. I just don't believe in embarrassing nobody. It's better to embarrass them on this side of eternity for them to get on the other side and be embarrassed by the Lord. That's why Jesus said, you got to work this work on this side. Discipline is a commandment of Jesus, and he spent a large majority of his time teaching his disciples how to discipline God's people. Folks don't act right. You got to let them go. Is that all right? That's preachers, elders, deacons, members, whoever. We all members of this body, right? So when the leadership start acting up, gotta let them go. But not on hearsay now. Don't you come talk to me. Come to me. Come to me. Well, Brother Davis, you know I heard. What did you hear? That don't amount to a hill of beans. Let me see something. Bring the proof. Is that all right? And I'm sure a lot of y'all done heard a lot of stuff about me. My question is, where is the proof? Show me something. You're like, I done heard a lot of stuff about you. But I ain't got no proof. And I ain't finna come running to you talking about, I heard it. My time is up. I pray, God, that we get busy in the church of my Lord doing this work. Is that all right? Discipline is a work of the church. Amen. Is that all right?
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother Joe Davis. You know, Brother Joe.